This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning and welcome to the show that's all about personal money. I'm Sharad Kutan and with me, Julian Ng. Should commodity investment be part of your portfolio? Some advisors are not for it and some are. It's one of the more misunderstood aspects of financial planning. Today we speak to Lars Kroyer. He's the author of Investing Demystified. And he is, and was, or rather in a previous life, a hedge fund manager. Lars, thanks for joining us. If commodities are so volatile, should ordinary investors consider it in their portfolio?
I'm not so worried about the volatility because, in my view, you can adjust the riskiness of your portfolio in other ways. So it doesn't have to be a yes or no answer. For me, commodities, if I can take a step back and ask you a question and say, suppose you could invest in commodities and ignore for a second which ones, whether it's the one that have been extracted or not extracted, is it only a subset of commodities or all commodities? Let me ask you this question. Do you expect to make money? Do you think you will make money? So if I ask you that question in equities, you would say, yes, I would expect to make money. Because over the last 300 years, equities have on average, for the kind of risk you take in equity markets, you have on average made 4.5% to 5% above inflation. And that's called the equity risk premium. Now, if you look statistically at, and this is not easy to do, by the way, but if you look statistically at all commodities in all sorts of different ways, but say in the proportion of their values, it's not actually clear that commodities after cost and storage and insurance and so forth have done better than inflation. So it's not actually clear to me that you should expect to make money from investing in commodities. And if you're not clear that you will do better investing in commodities than cash in the bank or in government bonds, you shouldn't invest in commodities. So I know that's an argument that's very, very different to a lot of people that try to sell you commodity investment funds. But I think it's an important place to start because this is even before I've asked the question, which commodities? Is it gold? Well, is it even stuff like oil? Is it copper? Why not magnesium? Why not even some of the stuff none of us knows how to pronounce? If you're starting to say, Imagine you're my mother, and she says, oh, I should invest in commodities. And I say, well, which ones? And she says, I think you should buy gold. And I say, why? And she says, because it does so well. I would tell her, well, that historically, all commodities have not outperformed inflation. And if she claims to be able to pick individual commodities, then that's a magical skill, isn't it? To say, this one is going to do well, that one is not going to do well. I would tell my mom to start a commodities hedge fund. And she would be guaranteed to get rich. But I just don't think that's something most investors have any chance of doing. So I think most investors should simply stay away from commodities.
So isn't that the same kind of argument that you would make with stocks as well as bonds or in fact any other financial asset that's out there that you would not be able to choose the correct commodity? But does that mean that one shouldn't invest in a basket of commodities?
So they're picking between individual commodities. Yes, I'm saying that's unlikely to be something you can do. But where this argument differs from the equities argument is that the reason I say you should invest in equities is because if you invested in all of them, so the whole world of equities, you would expect to make money. Over time, not in any one year, because anything can happen in one year and it's very risky. But over time, you would expect to make about as much as you have in the past, which is 4.5% to 5% above inflation. Now, and this is U.S. dollar terms, right? But in commodities, if you pick all commodities, it's not actually clear to me that you would make money. And how do I know that? I know that because the history of commodity pricing is such that it suggests that you wouldn't necessarily make money. And there's nothing in the future to predict that that would be wildly different. Now, don't get me wrong. Individual commodities will, over certain periods of time, do extraordinarily well, no doubt. But then you're getting into the issue of saying, well, can you pick individual commodities. And I say, well, if you can, you know, bless you, you're going to get very rich. But most people can't.
Well, we've seen that gold prices as well as oil prices, even after the crash, shows that it's been successively higher than what history has shown. Although you're right in saying that to get in at the correct time and to make money out of it, that is certainly a lot more challenging. But you've explained the numbers historically, but what is that underlying economic reason that you can make a lot of money out of equities and not out of commodities? What economic justification explains that?
Well, I think personally, the way I think of it is, what are return-generating assets, right? So you can say, let's say you hold a bar of gold or a barrel of oil in your hand. Is that in itself a return-generating thing? Well, not really. It's something that's done to that commodity, to that product. If you hold an equity for a company in your hand, well, that's a live, thriving business that's out there trying to generate returns for you. Maybe that's a simplistic way to look at the world, but I think I wouldn't say necessarily, like, in fact, you can say the opposite about your bar of gold or your oil. You have to store it. You have to extract it. You have to insure it. You have to, you know, transport it. All of those things cost money. And so it's not, you know, you use oil and you use gold in production and in storage of value. But I think there's nothing as such that say that you should make money from that product. There's nothing, like, why is there something out there in the world saying you should expect the value of oil to go up over time? The value of oil is going to depend on a million different things, just like the value of every other commodity. But it's not consistently upwards. It's very volatile, yes. It can go up and down. It can be $100 a barrel. It could be $10 a barrel. But it's nothing in commodities in aggregate, again, across all commodities for the history of commodity pricing that suggests that it's consistently positive. That's not what the history shows. So I'm just saying, it's not clear to me that you should expect to make money from commodities in the future. And if you shouldn't expect to make money from it, then you should only invest in it if you can pick a subset of the commodities that does well. And if you claim to be able to do that, man, well, good luck. That's great. That's a great skill. It's a very rare skill that I would question whether you have, but it's a great skill if you have it. Take the example, there are 10 commodities in the world. And I tell you that if you invested in all 10, you would make, let's say, the same amount as inflation. So that's not attractive because you can do that with a riskless bond. Now, but five of those are going to outperform and five are underperformers, and two are going to perform extraordinarily well. Now, if you can pick those two or even those five, you're going to do very, very well. And I think essentially that's what a lot of commodity investors claim to be able to do. And I'm saying, yeah, if you can, great. Most people can't. And that's why you should stay away from commodities. You don't need it in your portfolio.
Lance Croyer, author of Investing Demystified, is demystifying commodity investment today on Ringgit & Sense. Coming up next, something about reducing risk and increasing returns, the holy grail of investing. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to Ringgit & Sense. And today, Julian Ng speaks to Lars Croyer, author of Investing Demystified, about whether you should buy into commodities.
So some of the asset and portfolio managers, as well as a lot of the financial advisors that look across asset classes, say that commodity has the benefit to the portfolio because they have negative correlation to the other asset classes. And what this means is that the addition of commodities to the portfolio has the ability to reduce risk while either maintaining returns or expanding returns. And these are back-tested research. Would you agree? And how do you treat such research that's coming out?
Yeah, so I tell you, like anything, the problem with doing a lot of research is that there's so much research out there that you can find research that shows anything. and at some point, you have to take a view on what research do you choose to believe. Now, let me just start by saying, if the commodity investors you see, let's say they're right, that there's a positive return from commodities and it's negatively correlated to the markets, then it's absolutely, you should do that all day. That's like the holy grail of investing, right? You combine a lot of negatively correlated asset classes that all have positive returns, and you are guaranteed to make money. Right? That's the holy grail of investing. If I can find 100 investments that have negative or zero correlation but all have positive return, I will make money in all states of the world. So absolutely. If you believe that, go buy a lot of commodities. I don't believe it. I don't believe that they're negatively correlated even. I think there have been certain histories. Let's take gold as the perfect example, because that's the one everyone uses. If you look at the historical pricing of gold, people always say it's a hedge against the market. It's so gold goes up when markets go down. Actually, if you look over the last, really since you've had markets, the price of gold is not negatively correlated to the markets. It's zero correlation to the market. Now, so that sounds, that may be not great, but it's okay. My point is, if you have a riskless bond, that has zero correlation. Otherwise, it wouldn't be riskless. Bear that argument for a moment. Then you say, well, so you have something else that may not return anything, but it has no correlation. So gold has to do better than that. And it's not. And gold has obviously been one of the, should say, sunshine story of commodities, right? So if you'd known to pick gold right before it ran up in price, you would have gotten very rich. But there are lots of other commodities where that wasn't the case. So then you're already into the whole world of, can you pick the ones that perform well and avoid the ones that perform poorly, which is an amazing skill that I'm arguing most people don't have. So I think you have to basically believe that there is a positive return or a zero return and negative correlation in order for you to buy the commodities. I've seen research saying that. I don't believe that it's convincingly enough the case to include commodities in the portfolios, I suggest. Mm-hmm. Also, it's a lot of complexity, Julian. Like, mm-hmm. Let me ask you, which commodities? Is it the ones that have been extracted? Is it the ones that are stored? Is it the ones that's in the ground? How do you know how much is in the ground? Is it the proven and probables? Is it just the probables? Is it just the production ready?
Yeah, I see where you're getting with this. And it's certainly, when we invest in commodities, we are at the mercy of the designer of either the benchmark or the person promoting the commodity fund. And we got to trust that. I guess what you're also saying is that the performance of the commodity can be replicated by tweaking the allocation between bonds and equities in your portfolio. Is that a way of saying that as well?
So I think, you know, if you buy... Okay, so can I just answer a slightly different question, which is, how do you allocate between various asset classes? And generally, if you want to take the view that you don't have an ability to outperform the market, you should allocate between asset classes in the proportion of value that the world has already ascribed to those asset classes. So let's say that the world, ignore your riskless asset for a second. Let's say you wanted to buy corporate bonds and the World Equity Index Tracker. And if I told you that for every time there was $100 of equities outstanding, that there was $10 of corporate bonds outstanding, in that case, you should buy 10 times as many equities as you do corporate bonds. That's what efficient finance theory would tell you to do. And I think that's right. So if you then say, how many commodities should you buy? Well, this is where you have to have a view of, well, what's the commodity market? Is it all that's extracted? Is it all that's in the ground? What is it? And if I can just make one other comment about commodities, you know, if you buy equity markets, you already have a ton of commodity exposure. But, I mean, a lot of the stocks in the equity markets are commodity companies. And, a lot of them are not as valuable as they used to be, but you're already exposed to the commodity markets through oil or mining or banks that lend to commodity businesses.
Consumption companies as well. For example, the food producers would use commodities, so they are effectively commodity managers, very good commodity managers as well.
Yes, that's right. One of the biggest benefits of the investment strategy I propose, the most consistent, I get all these lovely emails from readers of my books, or people that have watched the videos. And it's funny, very often the emails is not about whether they made or lost money, although they will tend to have made more money being passive. But it's actually that they didn't spend all that time, and they weren't all that stressed about doing better. But they just realized that, well, I'm actually saving a lot of time and a lot of stress, not like just accepting the market as it is, instead of trying to go out there and actively trying to outperform, be it in any asset class. And it's a huge benefit for the investor. So it's not just a money thing. It's actually also a time and stress thing.
That was Lars Kroyer, author of Investing Demystified, Taking a Side on the Commodity Debate. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.